So here we are on the second night of the Complete History of Comedy Abridged at the Napa Valley Playhouse. And Reed Martin and I are reflecting on our comic inspirations. Reed, do you have any?
Germans.
The funniest race ever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 352, Our Comic Inspirations. The workshop production of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged has opened at the Napa Valley Playhouse here in Napa, California, and so far, we're batting 500 for standing ovations. We got our first one on the second performance. The cast is settling in, and Reed and I are finally beginning to see the totality of what we have and how it plays and what sort of changes we still want to make. But in the meantime, we have to kill time while the actors warm up and the audience files in. So, two nights ago, we stood outside on a beautiful Napa evening and reflected on our comic influences and how they've inspired the new show. The Complete History of Comedy Abridged is not only the history of comedy as we see it. It turns out to be a little bit of the history of theater, too.
Well, there's a lot of comedy in the history of theater.
Yeah.
But it's become a series of all the things that have cracked us up when we were kids and even now. So it's really kind of a show that celebrates all of our comic inspirations, which is what got you and I talking about this. I know we always say Looney Tunes, Marx Brothers,
Buster Keaton, Monty Python, early right. Saturday Night Live.
Right. But those are actually true. You know what's even more so than Looney Tunes was for me, the Fractured Fairy Tales.
Oh, I loved the Fractured Fairy Tales. Yeah.
Some of that storytelling, you know, where they'd go and the narrator was, and suddenly night falls and you hear a crash.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Rocky and Bullwinkle or Clyde Crash Cup. Yeah. You know, those are definitely inspirations.
Yeah. Although I grew to appreciate the Marx Brothers the older I got. I mean, I liked Harpo running around and making lots of noises. Chico's ethnic comedy, I didn't quite understand until now I got it more. Groucho's wordplay went over my head a lot, but now I really love it.
Right. Well, you look at the Marx Brothers, I mean, their earlier films without the big musical numbers are sort of more consistently funny. Interestingly, the more popular films were the MGM movies they made with Thalberg, and they were more popular because they had musical numbers, so I guess more people, it was more of a mix. But I sort of speed through the musical numbers and get to the comedy bits.
Right. Well, from that era, I would say that Abbott and Costello were a bigger influence on me personally, and I don't know why. I think it was something about their relationship. Their relationship was they were always friends, even when Bud Abbott was smacking the crap out of Lou Costello. And I think it was always great because Lou was always trying to get it right. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I always loved about him, and I think that's true of the Reduced Shakespeare Company as well.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Stooges.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You know, yeah. I guess I admire their workmanship. You know, just the physical comedy of it. I look at it now, and it's kind of hard to watch. I mean, you can watch one of them.
Right.
And Abbott and Costello, I watched a lot. I don't know how much they influenced me. I mean, my influences, I mean, this is probably true for you. My parents, my family, all have good senses of humor.
Yeah.
My mother's more straightforward. My father's a little more absurd. My mom would say something absurd, and it's going, well, why is that funny? And Dad would just be in the aisle.
Yeah.
But then also, what did they value that was funny? I remember my dad, I grew up in the town of Sonoma in Northern California, and this is well before VCRs. And so Sonoma State University would sometimes show silent films. Yeah. And my dad would make it a point. He said, oh, they're showing Modern Times, Trapper, we got to go see it. They're showing Buster Keaton, Sherlock Jr., they're showing Harold Lloyd, Safety Last.
Right.
And so I enjoyed the movies, but I also thought it was cool. Oh, my dad likes these. These are important.
These are cool. Well, and yeah. And we had the same thing back before they had VCRs and videotapes and VHS. They had a company called Black Hawk Films, and you could buy 32mm, but also 16mm and Super 8mm versions of old silent comedies, like the entire library. I remember us getting Buster Keaton's The General. That was a big deal because that was like six reels or something. But we would get all these Laurel and Hardy and mostly Laurel and Hardy's silence, mm-hmm. and a lot of Chaplin, their shorts and Buster Keaton, and that was just. You know, just great storytelling, you know, visual storytelling, and all that. But it's funny what you talk about parents. Like my dad, yeah, he liked all that stuff. But then in the 70s, the 60s, we'd watch Laugh-In. Mm-hmm.
We loved Laugh-In. Yeah. If you're going to say an influence, yeah. I would say Laugh-In was a huge influence. Because, I don't know, we were probably still in single digits of age when it was on. And we just never missed it. Laugh-In.
Oh, yeah. Laugh-In was
and the
great.
Other thing, you know, sitcoms, we would never miss All in the Family. We would never miss Mary Tyler Moore, the first mm-hmm. Bob Newhart mm-hmm. show, mm-hmm. and then Carol Burnett. Those are definitely influences.
Well, and for me, I go back to the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Andy Griffith Show. Mm-hmm. The Andy Griffith Show I really liked. I'm not sure how much I stole, but Dick Van Dyke, you know, him falling over the ottoman cracked me up every single time. Yeah. And I didn't like it in the second season when he went around it.
Right.
I went, no. So that was an influence. And I remember my dad would watch Benny Hill, and he would mm-hmm. giggle like a schoolgirl. But then he would take us to see Monty Python and the Holy Grail and those movies. And I remember my dad took me and my brother to see Blazing Saddles when it first came out. I mean, these are definitely touchstones.
Well, I've heard people ask you, where do you get your sense of humor? And your answer is...
My answer is I get it from my sense of humor from my dad because my mom still has hers.
But the way you describe him, he enjoyed funny things, but he wasn't much of a joker, whereas your mother was.
That's true.
I recall she has a very dry sense of humor.
Yeah, dad has a very dry. There was dust on his sense of humor.
Right.
It was except he loved to laugh, which was interesting. I mean, he wasn't the kind of guy who would then. Be funny or do funny things. I remember once in the late 70s, after Roots had been such a phenomenon, he just told me, he said, "Oh my God, did you hear the news that Alex Haley is adopted?" And I went, "What?" And he went, "Gotcha." And I think he took great pride in the fact that he got me, you know, that he made me laugh. I remember my mom was a great yes ander. Uh-huh. This was interesting about my mom, and maybe it's why I was attracted to Dee right away, who's an improviser. My mom, well, no matter what we said, you couldn't rattle my mom because she would always just go, "Oh yes, dear." You know,
that's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. Exactly what you want. She was just, Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. I remember she gave me one. I made a joke about somebody's house because I made a joke that it was really run down, and she said, "That's not funny because their house really is run down." You know. I went, "Well, yeah, but isn't that's, but yeah, no, but that's not funny. You make a funny joke about a house being run down if it's a mansion. You don't make a joke." I went, "Oh, geez, you're right. Oh, my God." I remember we would watch Barney Miller in the 70s, and she didn't like Hal Linden as Barney Miller. She said, "You know, he's never cool in a crisis. How long has he been a cop?" He panics at every single one. So I got a lot
to the Barney Fife School of Police Work.
Right. And so I got a lot of my directorial sense, I think, from my mom as well.
No, I really liked Barney Miller. Welcome Back, Cotter. I never missed Welcome Back, Cotter. I don't know. It's a masterpiece. But and it's interesting. I think my dad has a broader sense of humor than my mom, but he wasn't one to make jokes very much, whereas my mom had a very dry sense of humor. I remember one time we were driving somewhere, and my mom and I and one of my siblings, and we just improvised that there's a new breakfast cereal out called Sugar Boogers. And it's green, and you pour milk on it, and it gets slimy.
Yes!
And we just were improvising this thing and completely convinced my sibling that this was true. And it went on for about half an hour, and then we just couldn't hold it in anymore. But that, you know, that was my mom. She'd play along.
That's great. That's great. This episode of this week's podcast is brought to you by Sugar Boogers.
Green and delicious.
Hi, this is Peter Bergman of the Firesign Theater, and you know, whenever I slip back in history, back to the Renaissance or to Elizabethan England, I always come back with a an enlarged appreciation of reduced Shakespeare, and you're on the ReducedShakespeare.com site, you lucky guy.
Where can you RSC the RSC? The first workshop production of The Complete History of Comedy, Abridged, continues this week at the Napa Valley Playhouse. If you can get to Napa, say hi to us. We'll be pacing in the lobby like nervous playwrights. Then later this month, the RSC's Fall 2013 kicks off with tours of Shakespeare in the UK, Hong Kong, and Singapore, and performances of books, Christmas, and comedy around the U.S. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
The song in the show is I Laughed Till I Cried, and I'm wondering, as I hear it, did you get that out of the Paul McCartney School of Songwriting?
Oh, right. What is the Paul McCartney School?
Well, I saw him interviewed, and he said, well, when we were kind of stuck for a song, we would just try to pick opposites and put it together. So it's Ebony and Ivory. It's
right.
A Hard Day's Night. It's okay. I Say Goodbye, You Say Hello.
Yeah.
And okay. So Laugh Till I Cried. Was that an influence?
No, that's really interesting, but no, it wasn't. It was the inspiration for that song. It's the chorus goes, I laughed till I cried, I thought I would die, and then it's a list of funny things that just cracked me up growing up, and even now. But it really came from the headline of the Bernard Levin review of us performing the Shakespeare show in London back in 92.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline was, laugh, question mark, I nearly died.
Okay.
I laughed till I died. Oh, laugh till I cried, I thought I would die. That's where that came from. And then, we're looking for structures always in the show, structures in which we can put a lot of comic influences because, you know, when we cover a topic, mm-hmm. usually it's just we list a lot, mm-hmm. and so the song was a funny. It becomes a patter song, and so there's fun in the hearing the delivery of that. But but then at the end of the song, it goes the final two lines of the song are because if I did not know how to laugh, I would cry,
mm-hmm.
and I played that for my kids, and my son said, "Is that the theme of the show?" And I went, "Gee, I guess it is.
I can't say."
Oh, I laughed and I cried.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but I guess, I mean, that's sort of why we laugh, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. it's a line from, is that a Monty Python line? You laugh to stay alive in this bloody job. Or maybe it's Michael Caine. I don't even know. But, you know.
Somebody English. Definitely somebody English.
Or MASH. You know, that was a thing. That was a very formative sitcom for me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite comedy is always the comedy that has a little meat on the bones, a little mm-hmm. that's against a serious context or something, mm-hmm. and MASH is one of them.
I probably, if I had to pick out one thing that I got so excited. When I went to see Kentucky Fried Movie and Airplane, I sat there and I said, somebody else in the world thinks like this, and this is awesome, and I want to do that.
Well, and what I loved about, did you see him on a double bill?
No. I think Kentucky Fried Movie was sort of mid to late 70s, and I think Airplane came out in 1980.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about Airplane, I mean, I love, Kentucky Fried Movie was like Saturday Night Live before they had Saturday Night Live. It was a sketch movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it had a lot of great sketches, and some of them were great, and some of them were only good, and you know, whatever. But then Airplane was this movie where they had smart jokes, they had dumb jokes, they had jokes that were surprising, then they had jokes that you could see marching up the runway, and it was still great because you saw it coming and you went, by God, they went exactly where you thought they were going to go.
Yeah. And then to me, the next step was maybe my favorite comic movie is probably from being raised in the church is Life of Brian.
Yeah.
You know, the great story, great acting, just brilliant.
Well, and greatly satirical.
Yeah.
I think we agree that that's our favorite Monty Python movie, The Life of Brian.
A lot of people disagree. They like Holy Grail, and that's fine. I'm not going to argue with that, but for me, it's Life of Brian.
No, it is for me, too. And again, I think it's because they're making fun of something, you know, important, I guess.
Well, and it's more of a movie because it has an ending.
Yeah.
I think you said it. Holy Grail just ends. They didn't know how to end it. So
it just stops.
It stops.
Yeah.
So what bits from people you've watched and admired, do you do who? I mean, we've talked about influences, but literally, are there phrases, are there comedy bits that you do?
Well, it's funny. Yes, yes. I, you know, ever since I would watch, Bill Cosby would always go, "Say what?" In all of his routines, "Say what?" And I still say that. "Say what?" George Carlin. George Carlin. So every time somebody farts, I'll go, "Captain who?" That's since my dad was in the Navy, he always thought that was funny too. And he was a captain. My dad would always go, Doggies. from Beverly Hillbillies, and he would always, and there was another sitcom, it was a sitcom in the 70s, late 70s, it only ran for a couple of years, like the president was named for, Carter Country. Anybody remember this show out there?
I do, unfortunately.
Yeah, Carter Country. But, you know, there was the mayor of that town who would always go, "Handle it, Roy, handle it, handle it." And my dad would always go, "Handle it, Roy, handle it." What about you?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Cosby. I think we were both influenced by Bill Cosby. I had, I think, 3 or 4 Cosby records. That was the thing on vinyl that spun. Anyway, memorized.
Google it.
I could just sit there and recite it from beginning to end. And when I got to taking drama in college, there was a thing where we told a story and we're recorded, and somebody else had to memorize it and deliver it the way we delivered it. And when I heard my recording, I said, "Wow, I have a lot of Cosby phrasing and intonation, unintentionally, but just from listening and listening." I listened to a lot of Cosby comedy albums, which are not a thing anymore.
No.
But listened to a lot of Bill Cosby, listened to a lot of Smothers Brothers. Another thing, talking about parents, my dad loves Tom Lehrer. We had a Tom Lehrer album, and so my parents think this is cool. Yeah. Well, I better listen to this.
Yeah, well, I mean, anybody who's ever heard my songs that I've written for the RSE shows know that my songs aren't Lehrer-esque. They're Lehrer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just absolutely ripping him off.
Well, and my other musical influence is Victor Borge, who was very popular on TV when I was little, and I'm told in nursery school, I would sit at the piano, and I'd just pound on the keys, and then I'd turn around and tell a joke. Then I'd pound on the keys, and then I'd fall off the chair, and it was...
And he didn't write music, he just... Music was part of his act. Yes. He would perform it funny and then tell jokes.
Yeah. And I got to see him when I think it was 92, 93 when we were performing in London. He performed at the Royal Albert Hall.
Okay.
And I got to see him and got his autograph afterwards, and that was really cool. But and when my dad came to see a reading, a rehearsal of the comedy show, and I said, "Anybody we left out?" And he said, "I think Tom Lehrer and Victor Borge." And I said, "Well, Tom Lehrer's in there. You just missed it. But we got to get Borge in there."
No, we got to get Borge in there. Yeah, somebody else said Red Skelton at one of those readings. And I went, Red Skelton was sort of formative. Now, Red Skelton was also a clown, and I didn't like his. I don't mind sentiment in that, but he would kind of just make a sad face, and that would be, I'm supposed to go ooh about that.
Yeah.
And that seemed a little forced. But I loved his clowning stuff. Mm-hmm. Were you, because you are you became a professional clown? Was that a thing for you when you were a kid?
We watched the Red Skelton show. We definitely did. And I'm not. I don't even I think even back in the time, the sentimentality I didn't care for. It's why I've always liked Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd a little more than Charlie Chaplin. I admire Chaplin's artistry, but the sentiment, you know, goes a long way.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, this is what, you know, back to that song, "I Laughed Till I Cried," one of the recent things that has literally made me laugh till I wept was the outtakes for the Nutty Professor, Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor.
Oh, I've seen those, but I forget.
Well, they're just outtakes, you know, but one of the things that, and I thought the movie was fine, but one of the things I just loved, again, it's that spontaneity of they're just making SH1T up, and it goes horribly wrong, and that still, I just couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. It was funnier than the movie.
Yeah, that happens. Well, we've talked a lot about comedy albums and TV shows. I mean, and a little bit about movies. What movies in the last 20, 25 years have just cracked you up?
Boy, that's a good question. Have just cracked me up. I would say Shaun of the Dead is one of the movies I've enjoyed.
Team America, World Police, cracked me up.
Yeah.
And Borat, Just cracked me up.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, yeah, no, Team America for me, absolutely. I loved South Park, the musical.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard Book of Mormon, and I can't wait to see it. Mm-hmm. Borat cracked me up, too. I like it when he's making fun of pompous people.
Yeah.
When he's making fun of people's crappy houses. You know, when he's making fun of poor people, that I go, you know what, I'm not crazy about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but that wrestling scene? Oh my God, that wrestling scene.
Or the thing, him singing the national anthem at the rodeo, or just, yeah, letting people reveal who they really are, I thought it was brilliant.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant. I remember not wanting to go see Animal House, because I thought, because I was a teenager and knew everything, oh, well, this is just going to be stupid and raunchy. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a pill I was. Jesus. But anyway.
Weren't we all?
But then I go and I go, oh my God, that was really, really funny, plus boobs.
Yeah. And not just the actor guy.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your comic inspirations via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, ethnic comedian Matthew Crow, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Jim Hawkins, who's from Twitter, not Treasure Island. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the late Peter Bergman, 1/4 of the Firesign Theater, which was one of my earliest comic inspirations. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 352/1056 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh, we ran out of time. We didn't even get to talk about, you know, the greatest stand-up, Dane Cook. He's so good.
Oh, that's a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.